Do you want to be a successful author? Well, then there's one thing you really need.
It's called an author platform. Ever heard that word before? If not, don't worry.
We'll talk about this in that video. Hi, I'm Andrea, and this is
Freya.
and in these videos, we take you with us into the world between our words. So, I and I have just had the most amazing interview with James Blatch. And he is
One of the masterminds behind, you might have heard of it, the self-publishing formula, something that gets you started as an indie author in the book business.
because James Blatch and Mark Dorson, they have this huge podcast where they interview people from the book world, really successful ones, and they put that wisdom into courses, which are amazing and which are a big part of, or a big reason why Freya and I are so successful as authors. Just a small hint, right now you can enroll into one of these courses, which is the Self-Publishing Launchpad. It's only open for 3 weeks and one is already over. So it's an amazing course. So link
We
is
cannot
down
recommend it
below.
highly enough.
No, we
Just
cannot. We can, it's really, it's a heartfelt recommendation.
And it's something that has the potential to actually change your life because you can basically take your passion writing books and turn it into a very successful business that allows you to make a living off of it. So if you ever dreamt of living the life of an author, it might just come true. So go ahead and sign up. It's worth it.
And James Blatch is one of the mastermind behind this courses, as we said. And I met him at the London Book Fair and asked him later if we wanted to do this video with us. And I was so thrilled that he would, because he is the mastermind behind all that stuff and he knows about author platforms so well. And so Freya and I, we've been really excited for this interview.
And nervous, by the way, like super
No, really,
nervous.
so, I was so nervous.
But my knees are not shaking anymore. I have calmed down
No,
officially.
no. We're drying and stuff and so on. Yeah, so without further ado, have fun with this interview. Well, maybe we should say something about James Blatch at large. Oh, I'm so not prepared. So James Blatch is an author, of course. He writes military fiction about military aviation fiction, I think
Aviation,
it
so
was.
about, it's about
Aviation.
planes. Like
It's about planes.
if you're into flying and adventure, those are your books. And
Without further ado, enjoy the interview. If you have any questions, post below or send us an email, and you'll find all the information about James Blatch and the self-publishing show and self-publishing formula and all that stuff in the show notes.
So get inspired because we certainly are, and we hope
Yes, here we are.
you will take as much motivation from this as we did.
So, hello James, it's so good to have you here. Thank you for coming.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you very much indeed for having me along.
And we are the excited ones, I guess.
Well, let's just say
So
we're all excited.
we're all excited, which is always the best thing to do these things. So, in one of your latest episodes on the self-publishing show with Mark Dawson, you said there's no point in pumping money into ads and other aspects if you don't get the fundamentals right. So, if an author who's just starting out is ready to spend $1,000 for marketing when he or she first publishes her first book, how would you recommend investing that money? So, what are these fundamentals?
Yeah, such a good question because it is right. I mean, it's the same in every industry, right? If you don't get the fundamentals right, advertising isn't going to sell your product if it's not meeting its right market. So, as authors, I think the first thing we need to do is it's free of charge, this thing. You just have to have a mindset shift. You need to realize that you're creative and artistic and you're writing a book, but then after that you're selling it, and it may as well be a little black widget that goes for the automobile industry, or I know a part for an aeroplane, or a child's toy, or in this case it's a product, it's a book, and you need to package it, you need to work out who your audience is and do all those things you do in marketing. So that mindset shift is really important. And it sometimes helps, I think, to almost think that you're not the author, that you're a publisher and you're marketing other people's books, even though they are your books, because that's really what's happening. You've got a publishing industry and an author. It's just there's only one author and you happen to be the publisher. So what do you do first? You get your package right. I think we call it the book package. So I guess this is the cover of the book. It's the blurb, which is the description, the tagline, and you can only do that and get that on point when you have 100% worked out what genre you're writing in. So I think this is the second step after the mindset shift. And again, this is a free one. You don't have to pay for this. You just need to know that you're writing in a specific genre. So my heart sinks a little bit when an author says to me, oh, I'm having trouble selling my book. And I say, what genre do you write in? And they say, well, it's difficult to define the genre I write in. It's lots of different things. And you know, I think, well, that's great. And it might be an amazing book, but you are making life hard for yourself when it comes to selling. So if you're writing contemporary romance or military thriller like I write, you need to look at the books online and you need to see what tropes they, you need to read them, you need to see what tropes they contain, what identifies them as contemporary romance, what identifies them as military thriller. Are you meeting those with your book? And if you are, if you're ticking those boxes and you think this book sits into that category, then you can move on to the next stage, which is the cover. And again, you need to be looking at the books that are selling well in that genre. What do their covers look like? And here's another important lesson. With covers, you don't necessarily want to stand out, which is a bit counterintuitive. I think people think, I want my cover to attract people. I want it to be the different one. Actually, what you really want is your cover to say to a reader, this is what this book's about. This is a contemporary romance book. At a glance, you know, straight away, this is the type of book, me as a reader, I like to read those books. So from that point of view, you actually need to fit in and not stand out. So you need to follow the same tropes that other people are in the genres, which is why in my sphere you see lots and lots of covers of a figure walking away from camera, you know, sort of silhouetted in a nighttime cityscape. Yeah. Because that says to people, this is a Jack Reacher style book and they sell lots of copies. So fit in with that. And then everything else you do is just basically got to reinforce that genre and give a hint of conflict in the book to give people a reason to read. So your description, the first line of the description should say to somebody who's looked at your book and thinks, oh, this is contemporary romance, I love this. The top line should basically say, not so many words, this is a contemporary romance book. You know, it can say it in different language. It's a small town in America, boy meets girl type thing. But you reinforce that they're in the right place if this is the sort of thing they like. There's no point in attracting the reader, you know, all readers, because you're going to get negative reviews and the people disappointed. So just really laser focus on the people who read that sort of book. So I think that's your book package side of things. What I haven't mentioned, I suppose, to answer your question more directly, if you've only got £1,000 or €1,000, is you do need to have your book edited properly. And we always say that's a bit out of my sphere, because I'm, you know, I write and I have my books edited, but we don't teach that stuff. We teach marketing. But yeah, your book has to be absolutely, and editing, I think we'd all agree as writers, don't we, that editing is crucial. There's very few people, I think, can edit their own books.
Absolutely. But I have a follow-up question, actually, to what you said, because I think I went to the London Book Fair only for a day, though, for some reason. But one of the authors on the panel for self-publishing, she actually spoke about how she got her books to be commercially successful, even though she wrote in a very small niche. You know, she didn't, you know, have a very common genre, like, I don't know, Tudor romance, historical romance fiction, but something very specific in a specific time area where the readership is smaller, but self-publishing allowed her to publish the book and actually find the audience for that one. And I think this is something that is very attractive about independently publishing, that you actually can, you know, find these very small niches. And so when marketing a book that might, you know, have a very clear genre, but is also part of a very small niche, how do you go about that? Because then you don't have like this huge pool of books to get inspired from when it comes to covers or stuff. So how do you do that when you realize your book is having maybe a smaller audience, but you really want to find these people?
Yeah, well, I think being in a very small niche is absolutely fine. I think the problem is when you're across genres and you're not clearly in anything. So, but being in a small niche is great. And yeah, there's an author in the States I remember we met a few years ago called Octavia Randolph, and she writes Scandinavian saga, and she was absolutely
hey, wow.
She was absolutely killing it. I mean, her books were like 300,000 words long, and she'd found her audience, and she'd found them through Facebook ads. So Facebook ads allowed her to target really niche down. And there's an old expression in business: show me the niches, I'll show you the riches, which is an American expression that is, is you can't be all things to all people, but if you find a little thing that people want, they want the little Flugelbind or whatever that goes onto your shoe, and you produce that, you know, you're going to do well because it's supplying a need. So it's having a small niche, I don't think, is a problem. In terms of, making sure you fit into that niche, I just think it's the same. You might have a smaller pool of books to choose from, but they will be there, right? Lit RPG is a genre invented by self-publishers. You know, this didn't really exist in any kind of commercial form before self-publishing. There are subgenres in romance, such as, this whole reverse harem, I think they've changed the name of it now recently for something else, but that's not something that really existed before self-publishing. They feed off each other, I think, these authors, and they've empowered each other, I think, with the way that they've got together. So they've created the tropes of that. But I think being in a small niche is great.
So I'd like to get back to my initial question, because having the book edited and having a proper cover and these things, let's say the author has these things and now he or she has this $1,000 and he or she wants to invest. Would you recommend investing into advertising or building the author platform with other materials, other fundamentals, as you said, these fundamentals?
So I think at the beginning of your career, you're doing two things: your audience building and your writing. So writing is very important. We should say you've got your first book, but you need to immediately start writing a second book, which was always a bit of a challenge. I mean, my first book took me 10 years. My second book took me 9 months. So I think the second book and third books are easier than the first books, which is the good news. But writing your next book there's Craig Martell quote, the best way to sell your current book is to write your next book and release that. So that's a first focus. At the beginning of your career, you should be writing more at the beginning of your career than you ever are later on. You can ease off later, but you need to establish yourself and then build a market. So I've got two things to say. I mean, first of all, building a mailing list is a really important thing for indie authors. So having your own mailing list, a group of people, and mine's only 1,000 or something now, 1,200 maybe, but I've actually started focusing on building it more now, because every time I launch a book, they are the people who are going to help me launch it. They're the people who are going to buy it all on day one. They're going to trigger the algorithm in Amazon and tell Amazon it's popped up as a good selling book, and then Amazon start picking it up and putting it into emails. So for that reason alone, it's very important. It's also very important for you as an author, I think, to have a good relationship with your readers, so you find out that you're servicing what they want, and some of them will become your big advocates, some of them will become part of your team, and that they'll read your books in advance. So building a mailing list is an important thing to do, which you do partly through advertising. So I've just started what is a classic way of building a mailing list. My third book is a novella, 34,000 words, and I wrote it specifically to give away. And I put it onto BookFunnel, so it's free there. I still sell it on Amazon, but it's on BookFunnel as a free book. And I run Facebook ads to my likely audience saying, would you like a free book? And they have to sign up to my mailing list to get it. And so I'm getting somewhere between 25 and 50 email addresses a day now coming into my mailing list. So that's the fastest my mailing list has ever grown.
Wow.
And that's
amazing. For what budget? What's your budget on that?
I think it's only like £10 a day actually in Facebook. I can literally look it up whilst we speak.
Wow.
So
that is amazing.
Yes.
Let me confirm that. Yeah, I've got 41 leads on my second day doing it. I thought this is going to be good. This is going to work. Yes. I have so many Facebook ads accounts, of course, because I also run other people's. Yesterday. Okay, so £10 a day. And I had 45 leads yesterday at £10. So that's 22 pence per email address that came in.
So let me get this straight. So you wrote a novella, not a whole length novel, but a novella specifically as a lead magnet, you know, to advertise to people. You want to have this free book, sign up for my mailing list, and this is the result. This is amazing, actually. So you got basically, because, you know, having people on this mailing list is a good business part. Yeah, you do that too.
Haven't you done that as well? Because you have that Freya wrote a prequel to the second part of series, right?
Yeah, but it was a short story. It wasn't a novella. And I think this is a major difference, actually, because, you know, people actually get an entire book, and this feels like something really... something very valuable to give away, and so that they are more likely, I guess, to give away their email address and to join your mailing list.
Yeah,
it certainly seems to be working well. I mean, this is classic Mark Dawson. You know, I work with Mark and at Self Publishing Formula. This is Mark Dawson technique. He taught me how to do this, but
that's where I have it from.
So it's been working well, but I've only been doing this probably 2 weeks, something like that. So what I'd be interested in is to see how my retention is in the mailing list, what these leads are like. So my leads so far have been people basically signed up having read my book. They signed up at the back of the book where there's an offer, which I'll mention, actually. It's quite an interesting thing as well. And they're good. They're loyal people. I have very high open rates. I don't get many unsubscribes. But this is a cold audience, you know, fished off Facebook, although I've tried to target the ads as best as possible. So it'd be interesting to see what quality there is, which I'll be able to tell in a few weeks' time. So I just mentioned that. So when you do write your first book and you get it out there, I think another way of building a mailing list is to try and get people who've invested in your book and have liked it. They're the best people to have on your mailing list. So at the back of your book, I always try and think of something imaginative to say to people the moment they finish the book. And in my case, I had my first book has a couple of air accidents in it, like military aviation crashes in it. And so I spent an afternoon creating 1960s authentic crash reports from the British government, made it look like I aged the paper with lemon juice and put it in the sun for a bit, and then photographed them, turned them into PDFs. And they get to the end of the book and it says, if you'd like to read the official British government crash reports for the two military accidents in this book, just sign up and I'll send them to you. And I get a pretty good sign up rate from that. And then some confused awesome. Emails and people who think it's real. But and then Mark Dawson his character is called John Milton, who's a bit like Jack Reacher. And at the back of one of his first book, I think you can download a psychological profile of him. So it's it's an extra thing to go with your book, but you don't need it for the story. You're not going to annoy people who say, well, do I have to join your mailing list to find out
that's
answer?
Important.
You can't put it at the end of a mystery. If you want to find out who done it, join my my mailing list. That would be really
naughty. Exactly.
But something extra. Lucy Score does epilogues. Bonus epilogues. So usually there's a happy ever after. There's always a happy ever after at the end of a Lucy Score romance book, and the epilogue is going to be like a year later with their first child. So she gets a very high conversion rate of those as well. So all good ideas, and that's basically free. You don't have to advertise that. That's people who've already read your book and are going to sign up, hopefully.
Yeah, I do have short stories. So each of my books has 7 short stories. And these are scenes written from the other perspective, so from not from the protagonist's perspective, but from the love interest's perspective, and that works really well as well. So,
and you give those away.
I give these away. So they are in the end of the book. When you sign up for my newsletter, you receive these short stories, and a lot of my readers are really loyal, and whenever they read a new book of mine, then they are, well, the short stories, please send them to me. So they're already waiting for them. And for retention, and I spread them over 7 weeks so that they don't get these all at once, so for that they don't just unsubscribe when they have them. And yeah, and for the novella I have there, I think, and it's a prequel to my debut novel, so people, some of them who read the novella, they then just buy the whole book afterwards, so that's
excellent,
actually,
yeah,
Working quite good.
Yeah, so you're almost getting
paid. I think
paid
this kind subs. Of goes into... I think something that I also took away, actually, you know, when Andrea and I both went to London, was, and this kind of plays into that, is when thinking about, you know, becoming an author, becoming a writer, it's less about, you know, making a career out of it where things happen to you, but treating it as a business and your book as a product, like something that you said initially. And, you know, you have the main product, and but then you have the side products that are basically advertisements for the main product and for you as a brand, as an author. And I think this different mindset to adapt very early on when you start up,
yes,
writing, that you are not just an author, a writer, but also someone who has their own business, is something that's something new, I guess, something that hasn't been done like many decades before. And so it's something different, I guess, and it's something that may be the way to go forward if you really want to make it as an author.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and it's about you as a brand, isn't it? You are an author, you are the brand of your products. And I think a lot of authors, including me actually, are slightly uncomfortable with that idea, but we shouldn't underestimate the,
yeah,
fact that readers who read a couple of our books actually become quite fond of you and they're quite invested in you. I certainly get really nice emails from readers, and so you should build that up. You know, if you think about BMW, great German car manufacturer, they don't just sell cars, they sell a myriad of other things with the BMW badge on it, right? You know, you can get key rings,
yeah,
and probably cups and saucers,
yeah,
who knows, everything they do. And that's because, you know, and one of my friends who lives in the village here is slightly obsessed with BMWs. He only ever buys them. And he's invested in the brand. And the same thing works with us. It's the same dynamic, right? In fact, even more so, I think it's even more,
yeah,
loyalty, because you can actually get to know people. You know, we all see those massive queues for signings of popular authors. And that will work just on a smaller,
mm-hmm,
scale for us at the moment. Eventually, we'll get those massive queues. But yeah, we should push ourselves as brands, put ourselves centre at that marketing, and not underestimate the fact that people are interested in us. Yeah, that's the way to inspire loyalty. I completely agree with that. I think it's quite a hard thing to do sometimes for us, but it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
I was
how
just
do you
asking?
Oh, sorry.
I was just asking Freya, because I just realized my author platform is all about me. It is my brand. I am the brand, because I have that YouTube channel and I'm an author, but I also teach what I've learned. And that's me. That's my brand. And most of the content I have on my author's platforms is about me, and then my books come. And when I look at your author platform, it's about the topics of your books. So and then I asked Freya, so what's your author platform about? And she couldn't answer.
And this is actually something that has been bugging me ever since yesterday afternoon, that I realized, because I feel like I'm lacking something, you know. I'm kind of having trouble sometimes to find content to put out or something. Not in terms of books. I know the books that I want to write, but about all the other things. And then I realized that this might be the question that I need to ask myself. What is my author platform going to be about? So what is my brand going to be? Because I realized, I think I might be different from Andrea, for instance, that I don't want it to be all about me, but maybe more about certain topics. And I think this is something maybe early on that you can make yourself aware of. What is your platform going to be about as an author? What is your, what is your writing all about? And I realize I haven't answered that question, and I probably need to.
What's your genre you write in, Freya?
Fantasy, urban fantasy.
Urban fantasy. Okay.
But mythology is that
yeah.
mythology?
Yeah, it's yeah. It's very with so it's urban fantasy with this very it's heavy leaning into mythology like Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology.
Yeah, so I think there are two ways you can go down. You sort of pointed out, Andrea. I mean, my first three books, and I did think I was always going to write this, were very heavy on military aviation. You can see the photograph, you know, the picture behind me. So that was my passion, that's my interest, and so that's what I made my sort of persona about. So if you look at my TikTok account, it's all about military flying and a little bit about my books. But I have a big audience on there, 20,000 odd followers who are interested in military aviation, some of whom buy my books. The other way of doing it is to be there as an author, which I guess is what you do, Andrea. So you say, mm-hmm. and you talk about your books, you talk about the writing, which would have been more sensible because I'm now pivoting slightly away from aviation to spy espionage. Same characters, same universe, but less about military flying and more about spying. And so I'm starting to rethink whether I do need to sort of rebrand myself. The important thing is it all matches, right? It all cycles down. The person who's interested in military aviation is interested in you, is therefore interested in your books. If your books are no longer about that, that's broken that link and it's not going to work. So, but if they're interested in you as an author, yeah, Lucy Score, I think, does a fantastic job. I mentioned her a couple of times, a friend of mine, but a huge selling author in America. And she's very, very good at inspiring people about good news. That's her thing. So she does stuff about herself and her family. She has a big Facebook group and she posts lots of good news and it's a happy place. So she's created this rather unique environment that has a look and feel that just dovetails perfectly with her happy ever after romance. You know, her mailing list has the good news stories from around the world posted in it every week, and that's a really clever reinforcement of brand that matches perfectly the books that she writes.
I am actually kind of thinking at the moment, and I think I'm kind of circling around what my platform is all about, because I also write thrillers actually.
Okay.
And I realized, I think something that my books all have in common, even my fantasy books and my thrillers, are adventure. It's all about, you know, finding adventure basically in your everyday life. You know, you are, you know, living your life and then something strange happens and you mystery unfold. And I think this is what, I think this might be maybe a train of thought that I should follow through. Maybe, I don't know. But this is something that I could imagine my brand to be about, you know, finding adventure in your everyday life.
I guess if you went to a big agency and paid them €500,000 euros, they would ask you to come up with some keywords that describe your persona, your sort of ecosystem, if you want to use that word. That's probably a good starting point. What words, what buzzwords, mm-hmm. keywords, and then start to think about things. Everything you do has one of those yes. words associated with it. And that's probably how they would do it, isn't it? We could do that now.
Okay, so I just saved €500,000.
There you go.
I'm glad.
No problem.
So, what does the author platform consist of? Is it, you know, you talked about the mailing list, and then I have social media on my mind and the website and stuff. So, what do you think is essential besides the mailing list?
You can't do everything. So I think that's the first thing. Choose things.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah. Choose things that you like doing, that you want to do, and focus on them, and then add things over a period of time. So, you know, I know a lot of authors, particularly in spicy romance, they stopped doing Instagram when TikTok came along, and TikTok really has been selling books quite well, much better than Instagram. They actually stopped doing Instagram, which is quite a big thing because Instagram's a very big platform and it's very big on romance authors. But they made a decision on their time that wasn't being well spent. They weren't getting the return on that. So that's a really good thing, I think, to do. So think about what you enjoy doing. I mean, I've got one author who's emailing me a lot at the moment, trying to convince me about Twitter. You know, we were on Twitter. We did a lot on Twitter, but it never really moved the needle on anything for us. And so we don't really put very much effort into it now. But he's trying to convince me that there is something going on there. So that's fine for him because he likes it. But if you're not finding any sales coming from Twitter, don't waste your time on that. So choose the platforms you want to be on. TikTok, I think, is hot at the moment. If you want to do that one, it is probably the most time consuming one though, because you have to create little videos.
Yeah.
You've watched them.
Whenever you're on TikTok, you have to watch videos. You can't just put something up there.
No.
You have to watch it. And then it's like, oh, just see watch two TikToks, and then it's an hour later. So
yes, an hour of your life disappears. Yeah. It is a time suck.
Writing, by the way.
Yeah, you should be writing. Yeah. It's a time suck. Yeah, you can't do everything. Social media is absolutely a part of it. Your mailing list is an important part of it. Writing the next thing is a part of it. Your advertising is a part of it. So I think probably those three things, and then just work out within that what you can do with your time without becoming burnt out from it.
I'm always a little reluctant, is that right word, to using social media, because I've experienced Facebook, I started doing Facebook like 10 years ago, and back then it was great to have a Facebook page and you could reach people over it. That's not possible anymore. And so I always think that the algorithms of the platforms, they change so quickly. And when you build up something really huge there and put a lot of effort and time and money into it, and then it just crashes down, you just lose your audience. So for me, I try to focus on platforms like my mailing list, my website, and YouTube, because I think that's more evergreen, more... Yeah, for in the long run,
it's very well established too.
It's established, you know? And it's searchable, because for Instagram and TikTok, well, you can search for hashtags, but everything goes down in your feed. And on YouTube, when you have a video up there, I have videos up there for 3 years now, and people are watching these videos still that I've put up there back then.
I mean, the platforms work in different ways. I think with Facebook, there are two things on Facebook that work for you. You have to have a page, right? Because if you're going to run ads, you need a page and it's linked to that. But the page doesn't really do anything, in my opinion. So you have an author group or group set around your books, and that is yours. And that's a good place. And that should be beneficial for you as long as you put the work into that. You're there a lot. You have some moderators. And grow that. I mean, I'm still a bit early on in my career to have a big group, but I will start one at some point. The other thing is the advertising platform on Facebook. So paid ads, obviously. Apart from that, I would forget it. I mean, I completely agree with you. Yeah, I completely agree with you. Facebook, a few years ago, you'd get great traction from a post. It would travel the world very quickly, whereas now it just goes to a few friends. And if you want it to go further, you've got to go to the ads platform and pay for that. So if you're using Facebook correctly, use the groups and use the ads, forget everything else. I think that you'll get most benefit from it. Whereas YouTube pays people per view, right? So it's a slightly different setup. So they want to drive traffic to sites that are attracting viewers, which is why I think YouTube does work well.
Yes.
Do you monetize YouTube, Andrea?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
No, not yet. And I'm not sure that I want to, because I do have affiliate links below my videos, but this platform is for building my audience, because I'm a nonfiction writer as well. I write nonfiction for authors, and I want to, you know, build that audience for these books and for courses eventually and stuff like that. So.
So your YouTube and stuff is mainly for nonfiction, for authors.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's for what we're doing here. That's my content, basically. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I learned a lot from her videos. They are there's really really amazing content up there, especially for authors who are doing possibly everything wrong. So you learn how to do it right by watching her videos.
Yeah. It is surprising, isn't it? We spend so much time talking to each other, and we sort of know the fundamentals and the layouts, and some of us hopefully a bit more advanced. But it's amazing how many authors have no idea at all. And we have people join. And I don't mean this in a rude way. I just mean that at the beginning of their career, they've just started writing, and there are thousands of them out there. And they ask the most basic questions. And so we have to remind ourselves constantly that there's a service to provide here for those of us who know something, to say, this is the way. Make it sound like a cult, but this is the way.
But yeah. There's something we talked about yesterday in preparation for this interview is it's not, you know, when we are sharing what we have learned or things are shared with us, this is a constant learning experience. So even if you have a new coming author coming up to you and they are asking you questions and you learn just by thinking about those questions, by wondering how did you do that? So you are actually learning. It is something that is very beneficial, you know. This whole author community that I have discovered recently is all about, you know, supporting each other and helping. And there is so much growth that can take place just by collaborating with other authors, which I think is an amazing thing because there is so much to learn. And I don't think anyone can expect, you know, starting out to know everything.
Yeah. That's an old expression. If you want to... if you want to master something, teach it. And it's a really good point. I've discovered that when I do my presentations, you suddenly really start to get on top of a subject because you're obviously having to present it to other people. So,
is that the reason why you started the course, the self-publishing course, the Launchpad course, which is open right now, by the way, for enrollment? Links below this video.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, when that started, it was an odd thing, really. I worked at the BBFC in the UK, which is the Film Examining Board. So we used to watch films and give them ratings, age ratings.
That's nice.
And along there, it was a great job, yeah. And alongside me was Mark Dawson, and he, at that time, was a failed novelist. He'd had a couple of books published about 10 years before and they hadn't done very well. So he was working as a lawyer. Then he worked at the BBFC with me. Then I left.
I can relate to that a lot.
That's how we met. Yeah, yeah. So we worked together there. I left the organisation, started a video production company. And I was 2 years into that, which was fun, but it was hard work and it wasn't particularly lucrative. You lost a lot of your money in expenses, buying equipment and paying for everything, and you chasing invoices, and it was very labour intensive. We filmed around the world, actually filmed around Europe and Africa. So it took a lot of time and effort to get all the filming done, and then you'd end up sitting in horrible corporate meetings with people shouting at you saying they didn't do what you wanted and all the rest of it. So we were thinking at that time, is there a better way of doing business here? Is there something that's more scalable than us going and filming? And at that time the phone rang and it was Mark Dawson, and he said, since we worked together, I've discovered self-publishing. And he said, it's taken off like an absolute rocket. And he said, I've really mastered it. And I think I'd like to do a course to teach other authors. So I knew nothing. I wasn't an author. Funnily enough, I had written a book, but just sort of, you know, like most people, just stuck it in a drawer a few years before. but he contacted me because he thought we could do the video production side of it. And that's how that started. And then once we started doing it, we did Facebook ads for authors first, and then we did Launchpad, which is the course that's open now. And whilst we were doing Launchpad, he said to me, get that book out of your desk and finish it, and we'll use that as the example book through this course. So he encouraged me to start writing again.
Amazing. And so
if you do the Launchpad course now, you'll see an early iteration of my book going through. It did take me a few more years to actually finish it and get it published, but that's partly because of all the work involved in doing the course. So that's how we started that. And, you know, we've got quite a sort of collection of online courses now. And I think I'm going to say this sounds immodest of me, but I think we are the best online resource in the world, paid online resource.
So yes,
we have lots of free stuff. We do our podcasts like you guys do, but the paid courses are up here in terms of quality and information. I think they're the best you can get. But I would say that.
And changed my life, by the way.
Yes, mine too.
Seriously. Because, you know, I did ads for authors, and I'm working with Facebook ads, and I make it's not enough yet to quit my day job, but I'm getting there. It's like a constant rise at the moment, and it's something, you have done something amazing there, so I cannot recommend it highly enough. Yeah, it's awesome.
No, me neither. That's great. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And I've done a lot of courses, so you're right, it's on top, absolutely. Because it's not just the content you see in YouTube videos. Because I've done courses for the same money, and they're just like, I could have gathered this by watching YouTube, you know. So
yeah.
And what I really like is that you expanded
I was just going to say, I think the competitors we look at and we think, yeah, that's good, are not in the book sphere. They're not authors. So they're people who do, there's a woman called Amanda Porterfield, is that her name? Porterfield. And she does Facebook advertising for the general audience. So it does, it's not really specific to books. But we bought her course and looked at it. It was really well done. It was $3,000, by the way. But it taught Facebook ads for a general audience, people selling, I don't know, everything else but books. But books are so different and the margin's so small that it's a very different way of teaching. Yes. So it didn't really work for us. But within the book sphere, I think you're right. Hopefully we're doing well. And funnily enough, you say, Freya, that you're discovering that. I'm exactly the same because I've started implementing Facebook ads on my own books. And the fact that I made a profit with book one was only down to the fact that I'd learnt all this stuff off Mark and sort of really, got down to the nitty stuff. And it wasn't a big profit, but it was enough. You know, paid a couple of bills that year. And now, hopefully this year I'm making nearly £1,000 a month, which would be amazing for me with three books. So, as you say, sort of getting to the point, start. I won't be able to quit my job because this is my job, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but seriously, I could reduce my hours at my day job. I'm into law as well, so I very much relate to Mark Dawson, and I was actually able to reduce my hours, and I'm actually thinking about taking the next step, so reducing even more because the income is just rising, and it's something that I a few years back never thought possible, and it's a dream slowly coming true. So this is something that you have basically accomplished there. So I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your work. It's changing my life.
And lots of people, thousands of authors. And that's the most exciting thing. Some would do our courses, some don't. But there's just such a rising tide of authors in the world at the moment who've thrown off the shackles of traditional publishing and creating this new industry. It's slightly ignored, isn't it? You know, the newspapers and magazines and the traditional industry, they don't really seem to acknowledge it, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry being run by people in their pajamas in the kitchen.
I love that.
Just this morning, I received a reply from a blogger. I asked whether she would read my book. I have translated my first book into English, and I asked if she would read it. And she was like, "No, I don't read. I only read books from authors who are not self-published, who are with a publishing house." And I was like, "Really? Yeah. Because in Germany, you don't get that. It's not that often. I've never got it here. And and when I first I could make a living from my first book only because I built an author platform before, only because I had my mailing list there, and I've worked with bloggers, and I used Instagram back then. I still do, but it was really to connect with people and with readers. And if I hadn't done this, if I had only relied on advertising or Facebook ads or something, I don't think that I would be where I'm right now.
Mm.
And we wouldn't have met.
No, we wouldn't have met.
You introduced me to all of this, actually. So Andrea kind of introduced me to this whole world. And I didn't know existed, you know. It's something, like you said, it's something still mainly being ignored by magazines or TV productions. It's something that isn't talked about. So people actually assume when they... This is so funny, actually. The other day, a friend of mine picked up one of my books at my house. And she was like, "What publishing house are you with?" Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "I'm not with a publishing house. This is self-published." And she looked at me and was like, "This looks so professional." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Of course it is, because it is a professional book." But it's something that is not, you know, people are not yet as aware of the numbers even that are being made.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's because it's all done individually by individuals. There's no big five corporations, and you can look at their stock listing, you can look at their turnover and estimate stuff. We can't really do it. Amazon have a good idea, but obviously they keep all those figures secret. So how did you two meet?
We met at the Frankfurt Book Fair. I think it's
We actually met on Instagram because I was posting a video doing kicks, Taekwondo kicks. And she replied and commented and said, "Well, finally another author was doing Taekwondo."
Oh, okay.
And then we were at the same time at the Frankfurt Book Fair, and you were having a meet and greet with your fans, mm-hmm. and I was on desk duty, and I saw her, and I was just starting out. I had no idea about self-publishing at all, but I saw her, and I knew her from Instagram, and I was starstruck, and I was like, I'm just gonna go over there and talk to her. And then I contemplated this for about half an hour, and yes, and then I went over there and said hi, and you were so nice and friendly, and ever since that day, we kind of hit it off. You will listen to my audiobook, and I read your first book. One of your books. And ever since then, we have started working together and yes. never stopped.
Nice.
And doing stuff like that. And then a few months later, we started talking English to each other, even though we're both German. And that's how this came up, like how we got into this translation and talking to English people.
And you've started translating into English, Andrea. Do you both translate into English, or do you?
Well, I'm working on my translation right now. I think you are further along, Andrea.
I've translated my prequel, my short novel, and my debut novel, which is just done and ready to be sent to bloggers, but I only plan to publish in October, to have a lot of time beforehand to get a lot of to build my author's platform. Yeah.
Yes. That's very good.
Because this is like one of those main takeaways. You have built a platform in one country. It's not something that you can take away and talk. Just take to another country. So you have to start over, basically. But which is good, because everything you've learned and everything you've done wrong, you can just not do that the other way time around.
Yes, hopefully. I have one last question. Do you think an author's platform is just as important for traditionally published authors than it is for self-published authors?
I think increasingly so. And disappointingly for traditionally published authors who only get 8% of their covers, they are now expected to do a lot of the marketing. Obviously, if you're, when we think of traditionally published authors, it's really easy to only focus on J.K. Rowling and in Richard Osman here in the UK, these big authors who have the billboards and the average, but the vast majority of traditional publishing authors are right down mid-list and below that. And those companies will look now, I think, even before signing a contract with a new author, they'll look at their following on social media, the work they're doing with their, have they built up an audience. So absolutely, it's just as important. I don't think it's as rewarding for you because, you're giving up a lot of the royalty for the contract. So unless you're there in that top bit that flies, which, by the way, if you are, traditional publishing is 100% the right thing for you to do, because we can't get our books easily into airports and bookshops where they can suddenly become stratospheric around the world. But most of us probably aren't going to be like that. And so we can make a living doing this.
Yeah.
A very good living, by the way. It's not like you are, at the bottom of the barrel. I think it's amazing that you can actually make a very, very nice living of writing, of living your dream, basically. Yeah. And this is something that I wasn't aware of starting out, and being made aware of this is awesome. It's something very, very beautiful.
I've just been to the Leipziger Buchmesse, and we have this self-publisher, what's the word for Verband? How do you say it? It's like the alliance, like an alliance.
Yeah. Oh, like yeah, a, it's, you, yeah. like a union.
It's similar to the alliance of
yes. yes, union. This yes. is a good word.
A trade body.
And where the German self-publishers are.
Sorry, it's my front door. Hopefully, someone will be in and answer it. Yeah. Do you mind if I go and do that?
That's a nice.
I'll pop back in a second.
No, go ahead. Just
it was the postman. Sorry, you needed a signature.
Oh.
All done. Thank you for that. You do edit this, don't you?
Don't worry.
Yes, of course.
because I was just talking about my knee shaking, so this is something that should be edited out.
But it's funny. I like these things. So So yeah, the self-publisher Verband, it's called here. So there are all the a lot of self-publishers from Germany are in there, and they at each book fair they have their own booth, and you can do a meet and greet there. That's how Freya and I met. And in Leipzig, I was there to say hello. No, it was another booth. It doesn't matter. But I was there for a meet and greet at my distributor, actually, and there were two famous authors who are having a meet and greet, and they're both self-publishers, and the one said it was just for signing books, and she had 300 people who had told her in advance that they would come. So yes, to get back to this, you can make a huge living from writing.
Yeah. And actually, authors who sign, someone's done some work on it. Two people have posted on Twitter recently, traditionally published authors, and they've basically said, I just want to let young authors know the reality of what it's like being an author. And they've posted their figures. So they've got like a £75,000, like a $100,000 advance. But 10 years later, they worked out they'd made £7,000 a year as an author, because of the way the fees are structured and how long it takes to pay each bit when they deliver the books. And so they're saying, you know, don't think you're going to get rich as an author. Of course, everybody posted underneath, well, why didn't you self-publish? You're an idiot, you know, for this. And she goes, well, I don't want to self-publish. So, but it's amazing to me that somebody has a £50,000 advance, makes £7,000 a year. Well, I make more than that now. So those advances, I think the advances are a bit of a trap. And they make it look like you're going to get a really amazing, oh, I've made it now, I've got £50,000. Well, you don't see that money for a while. And if you spread it over the period of time that lasts for, it doesn't work out to be very much.
Wow. Yes. And you have all these restrictions. You cannot publish with another publishing house or self-publish quite often or within the next year or stuff. And they won't publish your more than one book a year for you. So quite often.
And you lose creative control. This is something I've published with a traditional publishing house before when I was really young. And the thing that really bugged me about this is that you give up creative control. So I had no say in the cover. I didn't even have a say in certain characters' names, which really, really sucked.
Yeah.
And this is something that is it's very restrictive. And as a self-published author, you have all this creative space, basically, to play with, even when it comes to the supporting material, like short stories or other giveaways that you have this whole thing, this whole playground where you can put your creative energy in, which is
and
awesome.
That for me, that's the most important thing, isn't it? That control. That's more than anything else. It's funny, some people say they don't want to be bothered with all the other stuff that goes, they just want to write. And for me, just writing is not the fun bit. I actually really enjoy all the marketing stuff. I enjoy creating that ecosystem and stuff. And I completely agree.
I would be so bored if it was only writing, to be honest. Okay, I think we've reached at the end of this. But I always have two questions in the end. And the first is, which change do you wish for in the book industry, in the book market, in the book world?
That's a good question, isn't it? I think the change I'd like is for bookshops to be able to, for indie authors to have better access to the physical book sales. I think it's still difficult, and I know it's not an easy problem to solve, but there's so few physical books really get prominence in bookshops, and that doesn't do a service to readers. The readers who are only going to bookshops are missing out on this whole world of indie authors. So I think a more intelligent bookshop that maybe just has little screens that show you all the other books that you could buy. So I'd like to see better access indie authors to bookshops, I think.
Yeah, that's really important. But I think we may be getting there.
Yeah.
And the second question is, which book is really high on your to-be-read pile, and why haven't you started reading it yet?
Oh, that's a good question. I've got so many books on my to-be-read pile, and why haven't I started reading it? Yeah. I'm always reading, and I read a lot of non-fiction as well, which sort of gets in the way. I love non-fiction. I read military stuff, you know, all the time. And it gets in the way of me reading novels. I'm reading a James Patterson at the moment purely because that's kind of area that I'm writing in and I need to sort of refamiliarize myself with it. I'd have to look at my Kindle. I know there's a note, of titles on my Kindle shouting at me saying, when are you going to read me? But I can't really, recall them at the moment. What have I got there? I've never read a Lee Child book. And I suppose I should, because it's like,
yes,
it's like the touchstone for the area. I don't quite write Lee Child books, but there's a crossover with my audience. So I suppose I should read a Lee Child book. And there are a couple on my Kindle that I've bought. So I'll read that one, but I've never got around to reading them. I enjoyed the films. I'm unusual that I like Tom Cruise's Jack Reacher. But no one, if you post anything about that, the internet attacks you because he wasn't tall enough. But...
I like Tom Cruise as an actor.
Yeah.
So why haven't you read...
I don't know if I ever will now. I sort of feel maybe the moment's passed, especially as I have met Lee Child, actually. We met him in New York, and he's a nice guy, but he doesn't even write the books now. A bit like James Patterson. I think it's Lee Child's brother now writes the books. So I don't know. Maybe the moment's passed. It's a bit like I didn't watch The Sopranos. Everyone else watched The Sopranos, and I don't think I'll start now. The moment's gone.
I miss it too. I don't know. Everyone was talking about it, and I missed it too, so I can relate.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's too late now.
Because it's not fun if not everyone is talking about it, yeah. Right? So you have to be, you know, in the moment.
Yeah, I'll read the next one. I need to keep reading fiction. I mean, I'll tell you what's happened recently. I've moved to spy espionage. Like I say, same characters and stuff. But so I thought I'd read John le Carré. Was one of my favourite authors as a sort of young man, reading those books. And John le Carré is a famous British spy author, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, lots of Cold War stuff. So I read most of his books, but one I hadn't read is called A Perfect Spy, and it's actually, if you look on Wikipedia, it's the one that's lauded as being his best book. So I started reading it, and I actually got bored. You know, maybe it's dated a bit, but it's also very flowery and poetic rather than prosaic. And I thought, this isn't really helping me, because if I tried to write this today, editors would throw it out. It's all full of info dumps and stuff. So that's why I started reading this James Patterson. So I thought, a brand new James Patterson, not written by him, you know, written by somebody else, off the shelf. And the difference is so incredible. Weird. The difference is incredible. So this James Patterson, the reading age is much lower. And it's absolute crystal clear. You don't, with the John le Carré book, every time I opened it, I had to really work hard to remember where we were with the story, what had happened. With the James Patterson, you can't miss what's happened. I mean, big things happen, and they move one to another. And I think reading the James Patterson is going to be much better for my writing now than John le Carré from 1985. But so I thought that was quite interesting.
Now are you reading for that book?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is something I actually can really relate to as well. I always, when I write something, I read or basically listen to audiobooks of the same genre, because it's something you pick up, you know, things that you're like, oh, that's nicely done, I can do that too. Or it just gets you in the right mood for writing your own book.
Yeah, the mood, yeah. That's it, right? And whenever I'm recording my audiobooks, I listen to a lot of audiobooks from my favorite narrator, because I like how she talks, and then I feel like, yeah. Okay, and I'm not copying her, but I just get into this narrating thing.
Yeah, nice.
So, we'll meet next week. No, not next week. Week, right?
June the 20th. Oh, you're talking about
No. We're not. We'll be in your show next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, sorry, you'll be on our show. Yes, yeah. Interviewing. Yes. I thought you were talking about our conference, which is on June the 20th. Are you going to come
to
that?
No, unfortunately not. No, unfortunately, we've been to the London Book Fair this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we plan on... Are you going to do this next year?
Yeah, I hope so. We sort of make a decision afterwards. It's always at this stage, it's like, you know, right in front of it. It's been a lot of organisation and we're slightly stressed about it. But so I'm not thinking about next year yet, but the answer will probably be yes. But yeah, I mean, you know, Amazon, you saw UMass Amazon, probably Darren and team at London Book Fair, but they much prefer our conference because it's full of indie authors. It's a very indie focused event. So yeah, they prefer it. So yeah, well, you come to a Carter conference next year.
Yeah, next year doing that. The London Book Fair, but your conference. Yes, that's the plan. So thank you so much for being here, for sharing all this knowledge and wisdom with us.
And for inspiring us. I feel really inspired and motivated, actually.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved it. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Yeah. So all the best for you. And...
yeah. Thank you. See you soon, I guess.
See you soon, yes.
Thank you for having me.
So, what do you say? What did you learn? Comment below and tell us.
Leave us a note, a message, whatever. Just tell us if you have any follow-up questions. We will be happy to answer if we can. And if you like it, please give us a thumbs up.
And if you have a recommendation for another author or another person from the book world, maybe you, then just tell us and maybe you'll see him or her or me here with us in the future. We'd love that.
We will be happy to meet you and or to meet whoever you want to recommend. So please let us know and see you again very soon.
And always remember, you're amazing and you deserve to follow your dreams. So take the first step now, not the second, because this video might be the first one. And build your author platform. Seriously, that's so important. Maybe you start with the class. Bye. Thanks for watching.
See you soon.
See you soon. Hi, we are Andrea
and Freya.
And we are here to become international best-selling authors.
And we take you along for the ride.